eastward west to northward south comes in time in the cosmic salon. I'm niche, 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 and all your companions will slip into the liminal, relax and sink in with an open mind and eye.
Here we are with another Cosmic Salon, and Skype would not let us do it. We had no luck. Skype hates him. So we went on ahead with recording from his phone through my board, which did not give us a stereo good quality sound, but the message was important. The message needed to get out. So with that, I'm going to bring on Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Dr. Richard Allen Miller, it is a grand pleasure as always to have you back on. I know there's a lot going on with you right now that's acute that needs to be brought out. There are things that need to come forth. What are you working with right now? What's happening?
Where to begin on all of that? The COVID virus has put a big hitch in everybody's giddy up. And of course, everything is now broken. You know, things that you would have normally assumed and taken for granted somehow no longer work, or they're broken and it doesn't do this, but it'll do that, that kind of thing. And it's going to get much worse. Let me tell you a story. Back in 1974, now this is after I had trained, started SEAL Team 1 and was training SEAL Team 2 and 3. The next project I did was directly out of Ostrander and Schroeder's Psychic Discoveries book. It had to do with a concept called cosmobiology. Now, cosmobiology is the next evolution in our concept of what space is, like time. We went from astrology to astronomy, and then astronomy will eventually go to celestial bodies and their geometric relationship to each other. And it's a newer concept of space. They call it cosmobiology. The most common example of that would be a book by Yanif that wrote on the lunar sex cycle of the female. When a woman is born, an engram is set in her DNA on when she ovulates based on phases of the moon with the earth and the sun. And because the moon is so close to earth, if she moves to a different part of the earth, that phase angle changes, and now you have a possible birth control signal. Now, the study I did was a much more sophisticated thing dealing with the planet Uranus. And it was done for the Department of Interior on earthquake hazards. And every 12,000 years, 12,000 blah, 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 there is a major geometric alignment with Uranus, Earth, and the sun. And when that occurs, there was, and I used a 360 to validate this, went back into history and validated that there was a 99.9975% probability, three sigma, that there would be a major earthquake on Earth. Major. When I say major, like the volcano that went off in Mexico last week was a 7.6.
Yes.
And the one in Indonesia was up there as well. And what that is that alignment. Uranus in astrology was always considered a higher octave of Earth. Now, there's no known laws on how the planet Uranus can in any way affect the Earth and the sun. However, last winter, because that orb, that relationship, is about 8 years, when does it actually occur? You know, like phases of the moon and lunatic. And it turns out that that's on, based on solar minimums and why they did the Parker dive last fall to determine, because the solar minimums are regular from the sun, but they're different and unique ones. And this particular one triggers the earthquake event, and the Parker dive this last winter would suggest in the heliosphere of the sun that that alignment and that timetable begins in late March or early April of 2024. And I can give you some examples of what's going to about to happen. For example, today we're seeing that the groundwater in California is gone down to almost essentially nothing. And the Colorado River is drying up. And with the Mexican border in riot right now with the cartels, and the forest fires that are occurring in California, food prices from food that comes from that part of the world is going to quadruple by Christmas. And next year, you won't even get that food, which means we're right out of the top. We're going to have an event regarding our food because of groundwater and California no longer being a state of produce because of all the different things. Some of the forest fires up in the Trinity Alps have already been shown to be arson, which means some of this is being done with intent.
Yes.
Now, well, who knows? Ultimately, you can postulate that as a paranoid like I am, but that doesn't mean I'm right. And you can always justify yourself in the way you look at something because of the way I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it concept.
Yes.
But man is very limited in what's going on. And I could make an argument that we're in a petri dish. And they're rotating humans out with a new kind of improved GMO, which doesn't have an immune system like we do. Already starting to spike in Europe on the amount of deaths on people that got the jab just yesterday. They're talking about extremely abnormal volumes of deaths in Europe that supersede anything. What's going on? I don't know. I can guess, but that doesn't mean I'm right. And so with all of that said, I'm going to suggest that if you can, it's time for you to start your victory garden today. Because if you can grow 40% of the food you consume, and that would be mostly salads and greens, you know, like lettuce and celery and some of the other more simple things to grow, you probably will have an incredibly better chance of survival than what is about to happen with no food out of California.
What about the violence that will ensue with all this, with the rogue people?
Well, there'll be all
people.
Kinds of related
yeah.
incidences, you know, from, you know, shrimp on the Barbie down to who knows what's going to go on next. Here we are in Oregon. I'm in Oregon, which used to be a very progressive state. And today we've got the Democrats running Portland and the rest of the state is Republican. Now, what does that mean? Well, or what matters is black humor. And that matters, in my humble opinion. And
yes.
Portland, well, I mean, yeah, if you can't laugh your way out of the whole thing, all that Black Lives Matter movement created was a schism.
Yes.
It didn't bring things together. It split them apart by drawing attention to it.
Yep.
And so what's going on? Well, the Republican and Democratic parties have been infiltrated by some creep. I remember the look on my dad's face when he could not believe he was no longer a Republican.
No.
He was. I thought it was going to be my dad. Well, it's crazy. And then now Democrats, look at what's happening in Idaho.
Oh,
Idaho, they used to be just Haller Lake. Now it's the entire state that's so much as skinheads. And they tried to annex a portion of Oregon by going down the Columbia River for their own waterfront. And that didn't get into the vote, but there they are. It isn't like they're trying. And And Montana, which used to be a real quiet, mellow, laid-back place, is now going similar. And Canada, if you can't even go to Canada unless you've gotten the jab.
Yeah, I know.
And
we're very limited.
The problem is the people that got the jab are now shedding,
yes.
Which means that if you're in close by, the two, humans and GMOs, legitimately can't interface with each other because one's going to contaminate the other, with that as a metaphor. And I know that, my handler's boy got jabbed. She won't. She's well familiar as a military of what the spike protein is, because it isn't about the COVID. It's about that spike protein.
Right.
And it is gelling the blood. It's not... I don't know what all is going on, but I'm going to suspect that there's going to be a large volume of people that die in the next couple of years because of food, the spike protein, and who knows what else, Ukraine. How's that one work? Well, Putin, Ukraine is to Russia like Kansas is to the United States. It's our breadbasket. And it was supposed to be protected by NATO. So I don't know what's really going on over in Ukraine, but I can guess that anything I could imagine is probably true, and even more so. And the media isn't going to report it correctly. So how do we really know what's going to actually be going on to make judgment on whether or not Putin is losing control? Now, I can say one thing about Putin. I know him, I've met him, and I have a handler from him because of his Anastasia program and what we do over here as Sustainable Lifeboats. And while Putin may be a criminal, KGB, and all the rest of it, wearing his bare chest on a bull while he's trying to get laid, I can also tell you he's also done more for Mother Russia as a nationalist than anyone in their history as leaders. From Stalin on down.
Yeah.
So here we have mixed messages of what's going on, and the high likelihood we'll never really have the answer. It's so ingrained into disinformation that, this guy that did Sandy Hook. Did Sandy Hook happen or not happen? And why is Alex Jones copping that he lied when, in fact, maybe he didn't?
He didn't lie, yeah.
Well, that's an opinion, and I agree, but you don't know.
Well, I just come at it from a psychic angle, and that's...
You try to come from your gut and what you know to be true and all of that, but realize you, like me, have been programmed.
Yes.
And while I'm trying to retain my scientific... spirit of the whole thing, trying to measure it from science, not politics, because I'm a nerd. I don't know politics at all. But I know I don't know. And I know that I probably won't ever know, but that doesn't stop me from not having an opinion.
Right.
And right now, I get mixed messages out of Ukraine. And why is UN trying to split it up when they agreed during World War II that they would never bother Russia with the Ukraine, like they wouldn't bother Kansas for the USA? It's a food bed. Where all their food comes from. And if there's going to be a food crisis, why would Russia allow Ukraine to succeed?
I know. The logic is not, on the surface, not there.
I understand. And that's the problem we all have. And why people like me are talking about it to make your listeners at least think about things before they make a decision on what it is and what it is not. And while you may have certain slants on, we're all, going to be paranoid, paranoia isn't going to fix it. I'm not sure it's fixable.
Let's get into the meat of this before we get any real interruption going on. So you said you smell rats in the kitchen. Let's look at that. And you bring it in with the shifting of this petri dish and this new GMO race that's coming in. What's the implication here? What's this bigger picture? What's going on, Rick?
I don't know. I can tell you that the COVID virus is something that you or I probably could have developed an immune system to. It was that spike protein that surrounds it that is the creep and unknown and the mRNA. And with all of that, then you realize there's some studies to show it's about blood types. And certain blood types aren't affected, like Agonazi. It goes on and on. And it's like the rabbit hole turns into a one. And then the one turns into hollow earth. And then the hollow earth turns into, oh, it's into the out of. Big cavitation process. Who knows what's going on? I can only guess. And what I'm guessing, and that's what the military always used me for, I was a good guesser, is this isn't good at all. And we don't have any kind of free will, like the Bible says we do.
Yeah, I agree.
We have true will,
yes.
But free will would imply we had full disclosure.
Yep.
We don't. And so because if we don't have full disclosure, then what does that mean? And why is that? And why are humans, okay, so as a metaphor, I feel like I'm David Copperfield with an empty bowl telling the Lord, my Lord, Lord, I'm still hungry for something more than the physical plane, please. And because what I'm discovering is that consciousness, what we are think we're aware of right now, is a dream state, and that there are dream states like lucid dreaming that have more content to reality than consciousness does. What? What does that mean? It means we're asleep and we don't have a clue. Is that the matrix? Well, that's one way of looking at it, yeah. And what are we being? Well, maybe we were designed too good and our future, Nibiru, coming to meet the present. You know, I remember I was at Jet Propulsion Laboratory when they first discovered Nibiru, and I remember one friend said, the IR signature is wrong for that star. And I said, yeah, maybe it's got a Dyson sphere around it. And then it came to everybody, oh, yeah, we're mining gold for our future. No, I don't know what's going on. I can flip a coin and you can call Planet 7 anything you want. I know that there's something going on that I don't understand. And with all of my education, Harvard Medical as an anesthesiologist, physics from MIT and Princeton, Jungian psychotherapy with James Hillman, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I don't know what's going on. And if I don't know, I can guess, but that doesn't mean I'm right.
Well, let's get into your guessing, because your guesses are often right. So what do you think? And we understand that this is you guessing through all the faculties in which you use to come to those thought conclusions. What do you think's going on? And let's go to the dark end. You know, my audience is deep woo. So let's go there.
So I'm going to say that I sense that our children are probably our single most important natural resource. It will be them, not us, that saves this earth. And so why would we want to send them to school to become us? Okay, that's first thought. Second, if they're so intelligent, what happens to a child that sees a tomato plant growing in February? That child will never have a fear of food again.
Right.
And so I think that victory gardens, little you know, stands with a fist kind of garden, a little tiny plot where you're growing a single basil plant or whatever, is a good first step towards sovereignty, decentralizing our food sources so that we're eating more locally. And you know that that's supposed to be correct anyway from a habitat point of view, and that's why we have cultivars. They adapt to a given environment, and that's the same with you, and why the South is different than the North, and their accent, their language, and what they eat for food. And once you get that, where you adapt, that, in my humble opinion, is IQ. It measures your ability to adapt. And the problem that I'm concerned with is that there's something trying to change some of those rules of engagement. And I don't have a clue what they are yet. I'm trying to identify them, like with a third DNA strand, resonant cavity oscillation. That's why I'm writing the multiverse right now. To supersede my holographic universe is to try to get a better handle on what the evil Dr. Strange is all about, as me being a secondary byproduct of myself.
Yes.
You know, have all the different choices that I could make in a given day creates totally different universes with different laws. And that's what the multiverse is. And that lies in what's called the proton cloud, that space between when a proton is a particle and when it becomes a wave. Now, is it a particle or a wave? And the correct answer, like the Earth being flat or round, is yes. And that's why you have the options of choosing one thing over another, is what made you God's favorite. And just because it's different than my choice does not make us wrong. It makes us capable of becoming more than we are. And that's what it's all about, evolution. Trying to go from where we are right now to becoming something more. And there's something that doesn't want to have that happen. And as far as I can tell, this so-called COVID virus thing is an attempt to control population. And because it's easier to control a smaller group of people than just trying to do it with TV. That was an old CIA joke. When the CIA said, mind control? No, no, we don't need mind control. We have TV. Well, hey, kids, what time is it? Time to wake up. And how's that Crocodile Dundee put it? Wakey, wakey. And, you know, it's open your eyes.
Yes.
What do you see? That doesn't mean it's real. So you rub the sleep out of your eyes and try to inner sight, see what's going on.
Yes.
The inner vision. Because it is the mind's eye that makes something real.
Yes.
And that's in my newest book, The Non-Local Mind. Chapter 6 is synchronicity, where nothing happens by chance. Chapter 7 is called time travel and the true nature of cavitation. And chapter 8, the mind's eye, where imagination is reality. It isn't my physics or your religion, the two brains that are going to make it real. What makes it real is when you see it in your mind's eye. And what that suggests is that not whatever you could conceive of as God, something beyond you, that you can conceive of as God, and what God's capable of doing is what you personally are capable of doing right this minute if you were to use your full facilities. And God is more than halfway further down that line. You can't even comprehend what God is. You can experience him, but you cannot know him.
Rick, bring us into,
because of our limitation.
So for people that don't understand the idea of cavitation, can you expand upon that?
Sure. Cavitation is when a drop of water hits a pool of water. Poip. And what happens is a bunch of things happen. The drop of water goes down into the water, and then it pops back up again. But this time, it's no longer a drop of water. It is a bubble that has captured the medium in which it's falling air, and what it's surrounding is not water, but structured water, which is chapter two. And structured water and the true nature of psyche into matter. Now, structured water is H2O3. Water has many, many different forms. There's levorotary, so you got para and ortho water, you know, with a dipole moment going in this direction or that direction. Isn't that interesting? That's the smallest molecule, and it would suggest that maybe each molecule has its own periodic chart of variation, because then you have isotopes, deuterium and tritium. Did you know that most of the ocean between Antarctica and New Zealand is almost pure deuterium? That's where they mine it. And deuterium appears in everything. But okay, then you have Old Willard water. That's where it's got three molecules of water that bond together with a free radical ion. So it's H7O9. And a free radical ion, that's what makes you feel so good, because that ion is activating ATP inside the cell wall. That's where cold fusion occurs. And so when you have Willard water, water falling on itself, it strips that one ion away, and that acts as an activator. But structured water is a phase, a fourth phase of water, which is H2O3, an extra hydrogen molecule, and that's where memory occurs. And in chapter 7 of the cavitation process of time travel, when the bubble comes up, at the moment of death, there is a 5-gram weight loss in everybody. This is all covered in chapter 7. What is that? It's not urine. The body didn't urinate, so where did that weight loss go? And I'm suggesting it's 5 grams of structured water inside microtubules just outside the body, what you call chi. And that goes back to the multiverse. And now as a metaphor, 5 grams of memory water is enough memory for 100,000 lifetimes. There's your matrix.
Wow.
Whenever water touches anything, usually the first 1,000 water molecules are structured water. And that's where, because it knows what it's touching, why it must concave upward.
Well, what's interesting, if we piggyback that with the idea that we know that DNA is basically housing information like a floppy disk.
Well, it's a resonant cavity oscillator. Yes. That's what I wrote in 1973. The two Russians today, in 20-something or other, you'll find me on academia. I'm getting like 20 reads of various kinds of things. I don't know, ultimately, but what I'm doing now is trying to understand what the multiverse might imply. For example, your gut is an enteric nervous system. When you come from instinct, you do not, by definition, make mistakes. That's my ESP book that I did at Mission Control with NASA as part of this Power Tool series. And the Non-Local Mind is the fifth book in the series, and there's a 5-book series cells on that that, you know, is, you know, it actually gives you the protocols I use to train Navy SEALs. How we selected SEAL Team 1 was we measured 270,000 plebes and found 8 individuals that were instinctively very high up in working. Every single one of them had a PhD, but we wanted them to be intuitive, because when you come from that place, you do not, by definition, make a mistake. But the brain can be seen as a second gut. It is like an enteric nervous system, a hierarchy of neurotransmitters. And it turns out that medicine, in my humble opinion, is taking a wrong direction in trying to legalize taking mushrooms, for example, with norbobiocystin and psilocin and some of the other chemistries, because what they are toxins. They are similar in structure to your neurotransmitter, but they're slightly different. And what happens is your neurotransmitter sees this thing, and it isn't the psilocin that gives you, increases placebo, it's your neurotransmitter. And that neurotransmitter is dialoguing with subtle bodies outside the physical body where the multiverse lies, where the laws of physics are different. And once you realize it's not the drug that makes you high, it's the release of the neurotransmitter, that book is called Electromagic. It's part of the Diamond Body series I'm writing right now, and the work I did in 1979 using Mora and Endomet, and I was able to bypass all drug responses by using electric currents on top of the forehead, talking directly to the neurotransmitter. And basically what's happening is that I started with the Diamond Body in 1974 when I moved the Menninger Foundation from Topeka, Kansas to the UW and started using video feedback systems and the whole concept of cymatics, where certain geometries had resonant cavity oscillation in the brain, and by visualizing on them in sound and visual. And then in 1979, I bypassed drugs using, that's called electromagic, the release of these neurotransmitters. And then in 1983, the third book is called Yogatronics, where I created my own wormhole and went to Mars on what's called the Mars Project, Wernicke's correction in the brain. It is a place in the south part of the brain that deals with dementia and how you can cure dementia using brain drivers and some of Robert Monroe's works when he was still at Berkeley before he started HemiSync. Scientology used them as brain drivers in the Harris and some of the others that were doing the science of religion and Scientology. But remember, it was Jack Parsons that started Jet Propulsion Laboratory, not L. Ron Hubbard. He was just a troll.
Yes.
And I, knock on wood, hope to be the physicist that doesn't blow himself up and brings magic into physics as a true field of study. And the book I'm coming out with this next month, and that title is called The Magical and Ritual Use of Metaphor, Archetypal Gods in Daily Living. I'm basically going to suggest there are 22 stories in the big city as archetypes, and what you're trying to do is identify which ones are playing inside your own, which storyboards are playing, because you're complex. You have more than one storyboard going on, or you're possessed. One storyboard only. Yeah. Most of us are complex, have five or six. Persephone having to go to Hades would be somebody that takes drugs once a year because he hates Christmas. And each one of these storyboards has an ending. And if you don't like the ending, that's what pathworking is about, changing the movie. And you move your path to a different storyboard.
How do you
and
do that? Right?
I can tell you, I don't know. These are all metaphor.
Okay.
You know, James Hillman, Imaginal Psychology.
Yes.
But that is magic. I watched a woman once rip a car door off to save her daughter in a flaming automobile.
Yes.
And that's impossible.
And those stories are
out
there.
Well, the adrenaline didn't make her bone and muscle stronger than steel. How could she do that? The altered state was a different her with different laws. And she could do things in those states she can't do here, like placebo and depression. And that's where man's next step in evolution, not legalizing drugs, but learning how to use these alternate universes as tools in a toolbox.
Okay, Rick, this is what I want to dive a little bit deeper into. How can we, and so let's just use this as a general we out there, somebody in their bed at night get basically worked on from some other dimension and wake up and something's different with them and they notice it? How are we being manipulated in this petri dish?
Yeah, me too. I'm part of the group. I'm just a lead scout. All your saints in history have stressed the importance of meditation, training the mind. It came out of the Upanishads, Voice of the Silence, the Lost Chord, the whole concept of training the mind through meditation, bringing it down into silence. They got Simran and Bhajan. Simran is when you do Noho Ringi Kyo, Noho Ringi Kyo. You do a whole bunch of God names. That's not the one I do. I'm into Satmat. But it all paths in that regard lead to Rome. Some are more easily adopted by personalities. I feel more comfortable this way than that way, using this system over that. Mine is, I'm a Satsangi. I was initiated by Sharon Singh. He was at that time, I think, out of Bias, India, and he looked me in the eye and he said, at the moment of my death, that he personally would be there to take me across the abyss. And that made me feel good because I'm not a saint. A saint, usually, some of the rules that determine a saint as opposed to a human is somebody that comes back, doesn't have to do seva or serve man. A Dalai Lama, a little boy looking, no, I didn't wear that hat, I wore this hat. How does that work? How about that Grandfather Montaga? When Jim Morrison was driving through the crossroads at 10 years old and the old man died. I did other studies with MRU for the government on life forms that intercrop with human beings, kind of like that movie that Pierce Brosnan did called Nomads. There are other kinds of life forms, like a Dalai Lama, that has complete memory of his last life. That is not normal and is not true for all of us. We have, you know, I sense or I feel I was Cleopatra or something. You know, all of that's in metaphor, but really, what's really going on? Well, first off, we know that time isn't real, so how does evolution work? See, there's questions that I can't answer as a scientist, because it doesn't work that way. And that's why I would say that science, physics, will get you close, but you can't get there by definition. For example, you know, Simon says you can go halfway to the door. You can get close to the door, but by definition, it's not possible, because all physics, for example, begins with assumed truths and definitions. And right there is where we have the limitation in our ability to conceptualize, to actually get closer and closer to so-called truth, which may not work like that. Truth is anything.
Things are amping up around you. Why now more than any other time? I mean, I know
I don't know that I would say I'm in danger as much as I'm trying to put a damper on me, put a muzzle on me, a short leash, because I'm trying to empower people.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with me. I'm trying to show you how I did it. That doesn't mean I'm there, but maybe synchronicity or synergy, excuse me, that's a better word. Synergy.
Yes.
Is the power of a group.
Yes.
Is greater than the sum of the individual parts. In other words, there's a third element that's brought in beside your energy and mine, a third one of the combination of our two energies. And that's where the multiverse lies.
The multiverse. This is your new book that you're working on right now. There's something going on with you talking about the multiverse, Rick. And
I don't know. I feel that, but you know, I'm also a paranoid now. I'm broke. I need to sell books, and I need to have some kind of support, because the only thing I've got now as a civil servant for the military is Social Security.
Yeah.
And with rent and costs of living going up, my Social Security does not cover it all.
Yes.
Which means the only way I can survive at age 79 now is by selling books. And so I keep writing. I've got 40 new manuscripts that you've never even heard of. I'm trying to prepare, and I have people around me helping, but I need a webmaster, I need a literary agent, I need a booking agent. I'd love to do some workshops in your area where I come in and do an 8-hour intensive showing you how to work your ESP. You know, the ESP workshop I do, for example, what I do is in the first thing in the morning, I have like 60 people sitting here in the audience, and I measure their ESP. Is it a box or a triangle or a circle or a square? You know, and we get a baseline on you. Then I teach you what happened at Mission Control and what I discovered. I show you a mathematical relationship to altered states. I take you down in hypnosis several times into an altered state to show you where it is. And in this state here, your ability and guessing increases 400 times, then you might bring you back out. And then at the end of the day, I measure your ESP again, and that's that. And mine increased 400 times after I did these studies for NASA, and it turned out they brought in Sybil Leak and Gene Dixon, a whole bunch of famous psychics back in the 70s.
Yes, I remember.
And I won that contest by four orders of magnitude using my technique, which was how we selected SEAL Team 1. Power Tools, the second book in the series, is the 8 protocols I used, one of which was like changing your perception of time with breath control. You can take your martial arts to a paranormal level. And you can get that one right away, where you have the precision of Hung Gao, and yet you're doing Tai Chi, or you're doing experiencing it as Tai Chi and that precision, and yet you're actually doing Hung Gao. Now, that was one of the 8 protocols. You start with a didgeridoo, learning how to do continuous breathing. You can change your perception of time and do some very interesting things with that altered state. And that's why I'm trying to just show the different altered states allow you to do things you cannot do in a conscious state. And I'm not advocating drugs, because they're basically toxins.
Yeah.
The drug studies I did when I was working for the military was called telepathine, ketamine, and BZ gas. Mm. And I can tell you, ketamine, Jesus, they wanted to send me up north to get ketamine injections because of my trigeminal neuralgia in my mouth. When they pulled a bunch of teeth, they cut my nerve, and it was setting off my vagus nerve in my stomach, and they were going to give me ketamine injections, and I refused.
Yeah.
Because ketamine, I don't even think the human race is ready yet conceptually to understand the entities released. David Luke, who's in UK. Ketamine is dangerous.
You're
going to encounter realities that you're not ready for.
So let's look at this for a second. So I agree with you. It's frightening when we think about the entities that go on with this. There's something similar about the fentanyl too. What do you have to say about that?
Well, fentanyl is a synthetic heroin, and opium, and these are addictive. That's what happened to Aleister Crowley. He died in Hastings as a drug addict. The problem is, we didn't even have back then a concept of what addiction was about until just recently. And now the state of Oregon is trying to legalize everything, like they did in Amsterdam. Now, that might be a good thing in terms of taking the profit margins away, But there's other things to pay on that. For example, I don't have answers to these kinds of things. What I do know is that 5-alpha dimethyltryptamine that you make and smoke in a glass pipe is quite different than N-comma-N-hyphen dimethyltryptamine that Rick Strassman and earlier we studied as dimethyltryptamine was called telepathine. It seemed to be related to telepathic abilities, and it doesn't. It does something else with the third eye. But I can tell you, I don't know, and that's what I'm doing now, is exploring what the multiverse is about and its relationship to neurotransmitters in the brain, like bacteria in the gut.
Let's talk about the
resonant
multiverse.
Cavity oscillators.
Let's get into the multiverse. Now, everyone is in the metaverses. And
well, metaverse is different than the multiverse.
What's the difference?
Metaverse, yeah, that's oh, God, what's his name that does TikTok and the rest of that crap.
No. Not meta, but metaverse, because he's trying to ping on, that's Zuckerberg, and he's trying to ping on metaverse by calling his new thing that's like Second Life, basically.
Yeah. Meta. The multiverse is all, how many choices did you make today? Just today, in terms of, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to call Rick that, or blah, blah, blah. All those different things, and their implication of how the entire universe for everybody is affected by what you decided to do for radio this morning.
Yes.
That is where the multiverse lies in all the different universes that could have happened over what did happen in this universe. And that is where full consciousness was. And what we're doing now is like more like a dream state. And it's hard to comprehend because we're not a dolphin and we're not an orca. An orca has access to 9/10 of the biosphere, where man has access only to 1/10. Who would be considered superior?
I know.
Well, then there's another one. I've used this frequently on your show even. How many ants are on your property? And who's terraforming it more?
Right.
And when you start to look at the ant colony below your home, and the one thing that's happening with rabbits and, you know, dogs having closer, how did Jack Nicholson say it when the gay guy came up to him? He said, "Why does my dog love you more than me?" And he said, "I feed it bacon." You know, you think with the gut, you're more closer to spirit. And that's why we love our animals.
Yes.
Because of their relationship to spirit that we sense we have but have lost.
Yes.
And that's the place you want to start going more internal. I remember in 1964, when Harvard was still doing their ESP studies, they selected 10 kids in different states. I was chosen from the state of Washington. My IQ was 158, 159 with MMPI, and I was selected for the study. And I remember Tim Leary came out and talked to my mother. This is 1964 now. I'm a junior at Washington State University. I hadn't built my plasma jet yet. I was downstairs learning how to use a Bridgeport mill so I could do my undergraduate thesis. And Timothy Leary took me to Deception Pass, Hurricane Ridge, and I'm looking 2,000 feet down in 1964. I had no idea what LSD is, because back then, nobody knew anything about it. And I had never smoked pot, never did anything. I didn't drink alcohol. I was a nerd. And I remember Leary leaned over and he said, "Wouldn't it be neat to jump?" At that moment, I realized how vastly superior internal space was, vast, way beyond light years external. I was watching all the different doors closing, the Aldous Huxley's Doors of Perception.
Yes.
Bang, bang, bang. I don't want to think this. I don't want to go there. I was watching all of that happen. And that's one of the reasons I went into solid state physics rather than become an astrophysicist, which was my primary interest before that moment. Internal space was so vast. The possibilities of the interconnectivity led me to want to go down into matter rather than out, and into the out of. That's what cavitation is. Alan Dean Foster wrote a book. He wrote Outland. He wrote Star Wars. And then he wrote one called Into the Out of. It's about a bunch of witch doctors down in Africa that watch a hole open and a bunch of demons come rolling out of it. And really interesting sci-fi, Into the Out of. And I can tell you, it's like contact. And when Allie drops down into that diamond body, that's what it was, that face center cubic exciting closed back structure, diamond structure, the diamond body, which later led Buckminster Fuller to his Fullerene concepts, which is another chapter in my book. By the way, that chapter in Non-Local Mind talks about what happened in Building 7. Basically, it was a neutron fullerene fusion bomb that Lockheed developed a teleportation laser, and Carnegie Mellon, here's their trigger mechanism, and here's the patent. And there's only one thing in nature that we know of that will slag concrete and steel. That is not jet fuel. That is a plasma. And what they were doing at 9/11 was experimenting on new types of weapons that are now being deployed in Golan Heights and Russia. And I can tell you, the public, like me, does not have a clue. But what I am about is trying to open doors of perception in yourself with imaging. Come back. I can still bite. I love Monty Python. Yeah, chopped his arms off his legs. Hey, wait a minute, I can still bite. Don't leave me. I know. It's humor is going to be the only way we get out of this mess.
I agree. And Hermann Hesse said that at the end of Steppenwolf.
I am so sorry that Skype was not working. Skype works for everything except Microsoft. Has done a personal attack on me. You know, Windows 7 and Office 7 was perfect. I laid the Non-Local Mind book out on it. But why did they have to upgrade it? Because now I can't do the layout. And Windows 10 isn't superior to Windows 7.
This is one of the reasons why I'm trying to figure out what's going on. It feels like, just in the psychic field alone, that you've got more bullseye targets on you now than ever.
Yeah, well, how did Gecko put it in the movie Wall Street? Greed is good. No. Basically, Castaneda, in his book, Tales of Power, said there are four enemies of man. The first one was fear.
Yes.
And once you overcome your fear, you have personal power, and power becomes corrupting.
Yes.
The third enemy was seeing things clearly.
So this is where my whole system shut down, and this has happened with Rick before. I always have electrical anomalies around Dr. Miller. This doesn't happen very often. I have a few people that it does seem to follow. There was something about Rick's message this time from the beginning of trying to get him on Skype so I'd have a good backup file. And if I had that, we wouldn't have been cut off and it wouldn't have been lost there. It did not show on my board that it cut off there. It continued to record, but there is nothing there. This is what I'm talking about. Rick is over a target. So that's why the show is an hour. We did 2 hours, but it's only an hour that I have a recording of. We'll get Rick back on, but Rick is making the rounds. So I hope that you've listened around at other platforms where Rick is speaking and are able to piece together some of what he's getting at here. Let's just keep Rick in our prayers and our good thoughts. So with that, I want to thank everyone that is listening. I want to thank the producers of this show that are staples in keeping this together. It's a lot, really. I'm a one-woman show, and so this means a lot to me. Thank you, Wise Night Owl, Yogi Chander, Cass, Christy Tesmer, Eric Peterson, Heather, Jake James Vanek, Jason Lamson, Jessica Lynn, J.H. Armstrong, Kate Kukulkan, Laura Dunn, Luby, Marcy Shapiro, Mark Betcher, Melanie Poe, Michael Wachter, Michael Watts, Neil McNaughton, Noelle Jeanette, Pamela Hodel, Steve Mercer, and of course, always and forever, my cousins, true, by blood, which we didn't know in the beginning, but Babs, our genealogist, tied all that in, and we're quite tied in our bloodlines. So Babs and JJ, who help with the live stream chats and our gifts over there, helping me make that go round, as well as all the rest of you here in the speakeasy that are patrons that help with everything I do. I really appreciate it. Remember, these are very interesting times. And as is said, the dreamer loves the dream. The dreamer feeds the dream. The dreamer awakens within the dream. So thank you for dreaming with me here in the Cosmic Salon.